Great kind. Benjamin Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. I applaud you, actually. You may be seated. Hey, how about those webinars this week? How about those Peaceful Solution webinars? They did a wonderful job, and I'd encourage everybody to continue to post those everywhere you can, okay? Be a teacher of the Peaceful Solution. Even if you're not in the video, you can promote it by getting it out to the world. This is how we're going to teach the world. We have a worldwide web that we can use to get this message out. I was supposed to put this on my forehead so I don't forget. Maybe I better stick it here on the microphone or something. I better not forget this. I won't hear the end of it. The Peaceful Solution is breaking out, okay? It's breaking out. It's going viral, only this is a virus that won't destroy, okay? It's going viral. Let me tell you a little bit. Speaking of webinars, by the way, I met a 78-year-old woman this week who told me, sir, I heard about the Peaceful Solution, and I have a 21-year-old grandson. I cannot get him away from the computer. And I said, well, can you bring him to the class? And she said, no, he won't get away from the computer. So I told her, well, it looks like he needs a healthy dose of responsibility and self-control. Can I get you one of these books? And she said, no, he won't read it. And then it dawned on me, the webinar. So I told her about the webinar, and she said, that's the solution. We bring the class to his computer. So she was very pleased. Remember, there's a peaceful solution for everything. If you can't get him off the computer, bring it to him. Speaking of Webb County Sheriff Rick Flores wanted me to pass on to you that he's very thankful for all of our support that we gave him during the sheriff's race. And he's also saying that it's not over yet, because apparently those electronic voting machines sometimes have a tendency of not choosing the right candidate when you press them. So there's an investigation going on right now, and it's to look into some possible tampering going on. But he wanted to pass on that he's very thankful to everyone around the world for their support of him becoming sheriff and getting that peaceful solution back in the jail. So keep him in your prayers. Now, we were hoping to get back into the sheriff's department over there in Laredo. We were there for 3 years teaching the peaceful solution under the administration of Sheriff Flores. Well, the other day when I was sitting in the drug court, Judge Hale's drug court, in walks in a sheriff's deputy, and I knew I didn't have any warrants, so I didn't get too nervous. Lo and behold, in walks in a man in an orange jumpsuit, completely shackled, shackles on his wrists, shackles on his legs, and he says, sir, I have orders to bring this man to this class. And he said, I have to sit in too because I can't leave him alone. And I said, yeah. Yahweh delivered him into our hands. If we can't get in the sheriff's department, bring the sheriff's department to us. Now, this sheriff's deputy, let me tell you, we were teaching the Building Moral Excellence regarding video games and violent video games, which I'm going to be talking about a little bit here in a few minutes. And that sheriff's deputy, when he heard what we talked about in the Peaceful Solution and how the media is conditioning children to kill, he said, can I say something? And I said, absolutely. And he said, everything this man is saying is true. He said, they teach us in the sheriff's department, but we use real guns. They take something off it so it doesn't shoot, actually, but they have a screen. And he said that they simulate people jumping out of a car and then they shoot whoever's getting out of the car. And he said this does have a very adverse effect on children. And he said it's very, very bad. And he said everything this man is telling you is true, and they need to have this everywhere. People need to know. This was a sheriff's deputy. So just know, there's a lot of people out there right now, okay, that are on our side. They're not coming out of the closet yet, Okay? But they will. Now, that same day, when I was walking out of the courthouse, somebody came to me that knows me and said, "Hey, I heard the Peaceful Solution on the radio this morning." Peaceful Solution on the radio? I said, "I didn't know anything about, I didn't go on the radio." "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, there was some lady on there talking about the Peaceful Solution." And then later on that day, another person told me, "Hey, Peaceful Solution was on the radio today. Z93 was the call letters of the station. It's a Tejano station, very popular in Laredo." I heard it from three or four different people. Come to find out, my wife teaches the Peaceful Solution, and it was one of her students that comes, a woman with seven children, okay, was on there telling how, as a single mother, the Peaceful Solution was the answer for her to help her to be able to handle her children and her situation at home. She went on, she didn't have our phone number, but she said, "If you just get on the internet, you'll find them." Okay, so I'm thinking, look at this. How many people are out there promoting this Peaceful Solution? You'll be amazed how many people are talking about it. By the way, yesterday, I had the privilege, the Peaceful Solution was called again to go back to another school, the Peaceful Solution team. 475 students yesterday learned about the do's and don'ts of respect. And you know, we'd been to that school before and they remembered that STOP acronym. Because I remembered them what I reminded them what we talked about in the last lesson. And they love the Peaceful Solution team. I guarantee you, they love all of you. Not just the ones that come, but everyone's a part of it. Don't think that you're not part of this great administration in these last days, because everybody has a part. So look up and lift up your head. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Is there anybody in here that's ashamed of being in the house of Yahweh and ashamed of the message that brings peace? Is there anybody that, do you have a reason to hang your head and say, "Yeah, I'm in the house of Yahweh"? We should not be ashamed of the message of peace. It's the strength of Yahweh that's going to bring life to the universe, to the world. It's Yahweh's strength that's going to turn the world back to Him. And yes, the world will be taught by Yahweh. That's what the scripture says. And their hearts and minds will be changed. It says that right on the front of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. By the way, I want you to know, this is I always like to plug the new prophetic word, but this is the December 2012 issue of the Prophetic Word magazine. And notice, outside of Yahweh's plan for mankind, there's no reason for us to even be alive. Hello? We're not even going to live if we don't get behind this message. There's no reason to. Our whole existence hinges upon pushing this message. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Can you turn over real quick and along those lines to Yochanan Mark chapter 8? Yochanan Mark chapter 8, and we're going to read verse 34. I'll give you a page number. 8 verse 34 says, is it 8:34? No, Yochanan Mark. I'm in Yochanan, I'm sorry. Yochanan Mark 8:34. Remember, we have nothing to be ashamed of. 8:34 on page 769, it says, "When he had called the people to him along with his disciples, he said to them, 'Whoever will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his yoke, and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for my sake and for the message, the same will save it. For what profit a man has if he gains the whole world and loses his own life? Or what would a man give in exchange for his life?'" Now listen to what he tells you here. "Therefore, whoever is ashamed of me or my words," the Peaceful Solution, "in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him." Does anybody here want Yahshua to be ashamed of them? No, you don't. That's why you're sitting here right now, right? Yahshua Messiah, our high priest, is not ashamed to call you his brothers and sisters. He said, you do the will of Yahweh, you are his, same as his mother, his brother, his sister, his friends. He's not ashamed if we're walking as he walked. On the other hand, if we don't promote his words and his authority, his character, his spirit, the peaceful solution, not just in our words, but also in our deeds, he's going to be ashamed of us. And you know what he's going to say? That word ashamed, by the way, it's word number 1870, and it traces back to a word called disregard. And while we're, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 33 real quick, disregard. And that word disregard actually means, thought I wrote it down. It means to pay no attention or heed to treat without proper respect or attentiveness. Deuteronomy 33 real quick. Since it's the holiday season, there's something else I want to admonish you about. Deuteronomy 33 on page 176. Talking about the tribe of Levi and pay on verse 9. Levi said of his father and mother, I have no regard for them. I have no regard for them. Now, does that mean you don't love your mother and father? Absolutely not. Of course you love them. But you know what? You love Yahweh more than all else. You love the house of Yahweh more than all else. You said that, right? Okay. So with this Christmas season coming upon us, keep in mind, they're going to be coming at you. Show them no regard. You should be, remember, the only thing we have to be ashamed about is our former conduct before we came here and learned the laws of Yahweh. That's what we should be ashamed of. Not the things that our great pastor and overseer and these great teachers in this great house have taught us. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Lift your heads up. Your redemption draws near. You have nothing to be ashamed of. That doesn't mean we'd be proud and arrogant. Of course not. But we have nothing to be ashamed of. We're learning the laws that bring life and peace, love and joy to the whole world and eventually the universe. Have no regard. So when you look at those Christmas lights flickering, because they're already up, turn away from them. Because that's what they're meant to do, is to get you to look and say, oh, those are so pretty and heartwarming. Well, it's going to be real heartwarming, too, when your little fanny's burning in hell because you turn to look at these stupid lights. If you want to look at some lights, there. Here's some lights. Look at those. Those lights bring life. We got to stay away from this stuff. By the way, speaking of Christmas and gift giving and merchants and so on and so forth, the other day I was walking into Walmart. While we're busy teaching the laws of peace, love, joy, and health, here's what the world is teaching their children. Now I want you to take a close look at that. That's the latest video game that Walmart's promoting as you walk in the door. And I saw it, I had to do a double take. I've seen a lot of things out there, but this, look at this, Assassin's Creed. Y'all remember that word assassin, right? You should. You read the drug and alcohol booklet. Drugs and drinking, what the scriptures really teach. Let's look at that word assassin. It says a person who commits murder. And it's from, look what it also means over here. Worthless person. Literally, right here it says, literally, a hashish user. Worthless person. The little horn, right? Well, let me show you something else. Since we're talking about assassins. And I know one of the great Kohans gave a sermon about this years back, about the Jesuit oath. The injunction of extreme oath of the Jesuits. Let me read a little bit of this to you. When a Jesuit novice is about to be induced into the higher, by the way, a Jesuit is the Society of Jesus, okay? And their whole goal is to bring us back to the Catholic Church. And if they can't do it through conversion by giving you pork or whatever else they got to do, they will kill you. I'm not making that up. That's in their own oath. Let me read a little bit this too. When a Jesuit novice is about to be inducted into the higher levels of the order, he kneels on a red cross before the superior of the order. Before him are two flags, the familiar yellow and white flag of the papacy and the black flag with a dagger and a red cross with a skull and crossbones, which is the flag of the Jesuit order. And the superior says, "My son, herefore too you have been taught to act as a dissembler among Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic and to spy even among your own brethren. Among the reformers, be a reformer. Among the Protestants, be a Protestant. Among the House of Yahweh, be a House of Yahweh member. You have been taught to insidiously plant the seeds of jealousy and hatred between communities, provinces, states that were at peace, and incite them to deeds of blood, involving them in war with each other, and to create revolutions and civil wars in countries that were independent and prosperous, cultivating the arts and sciences and enjoying the blessings of peace." Yes, go after these colonies. "You have been taught your duty as a spy to gather all statistics, facts, and information in your power from every source, to ingratiate yourself into the confidence of the family circle of Protestants and heretics." By the way, we're the only true protesters, because we're pro-testimony. We're pro-testimony that comes from here, okay? We're the only true. Now, there's Protestants out there, but it's not enough. And they're not really protesting against the Catholic Church if they're keeping the Sabbath on Sunday. In spite of themselves, they're serving the Pope. They don't understand that yet, but they soon will. Let me skip a little bit of this. Oh, they also go on to say, "Without the shedding of blood, no man can be saved. Therefore, to fit yourself for the work and make your own salvation sure, you will, in addition to your former oath of obedience to your order and your allegiance to the Pope, repeat after me." And I don't want to read all this, but let me read you the pertinent thing here. "From where do you come?" he asks the person that's being inducted. "From the bends of the Jordan, from Calvary, from the Holy Sepulchre, and lastly from Rome. Whom do you serve? The Holy Father of Rome, the Pope, and the Roman Catholic Universal Church throughout the world. Who commands you? The successor of St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus, or Soldiers of Jesus Christ. Did you take an oath? I did, to destroy heretics and their governments and rulers, and spare neither age, sex, or condition, to be as a corpse without any opinion or will of my own, but to implicitly obey my superiors in all things without hesitation or murmuring. Where do you travel? To the four quarters of the globe. To obey the orders of my general and superiors and execute the will of the Pope and faithfully fulfill the conditions of my oath. Go ye then into all the world and take possession of all lands in the name of the Pope. He who will not accept him as the vicar of Jesus and his vicegerent on earth, let him be accursed and exterminated." You think they're playing around? No, they're not. This is the from the website of the Jesuits. Let me get up here so you can see. Can you see the webpage? It's got the Jesuit deal. It's Jesuit.org, by the way. I want you to notice something very curious right here. It says, "In the United States, the Society of Jesus is organized in 10 provinces of geographic region, each headed by a provincial superior." Just remember that, 10 regions, there's the map. Curiously, this is from FEMA, the FEMA website. FEMA has 10 provinces or regions as well. Now, if any of you have been doing your social studies, You'll know that FEMA was started by the Jesuits, as was Homeland Security. You know, it's funny, the Nazis had Homeland Security. Well, where does Walmart fit into all this? You might be asking. How many of you know what the Council of Foreign Relations is? Or the CFR? Or the Trilateral Commission? Here's from the Council of Foreign Relations, and here's their corporate members. As of November 16th, 2012. Oh, by the way, one of the founding members, it says, is Goldman Sachs. That should tell you something. Here's one of their members right here that I want you to zero in on. You see that, right? I read this a while back, and I was very curious about it. This is from a couple years ago, actually. Homeland Security, zoom up on this. Homeland Security teams up with Walmart for safety. Well, you know, because there's terrorists in Walmart, right? Osama bin Laden could be reading off a can to see if there's some kind of ingredients in there that he can blow the store up with. So if you see something, listen to this. It says Walmart will join the Department of Homeland Security in a program called If You See Something, Say Something, which encourages the American public to take an active role in ensuring the safety and security of the nation. Homeland Security, this is the head of Homeland Security, who is a Roman Catholic. Homeland Security starts with hometown security, and each of us plays a critical role in keeping our country and community safe. Go back and read the Holocaust book that Pastor wrote, and you'll find that citizen spies were part of the Nazi regime. You know, and we do look a little strange in Walmart, don't we, guys and girls? Reading the can. Not looking at anybody, because they say, you know, what they're teaching our children in public school now is if people look away, they could be a terrorist. So, you know, if you're not looking them in the eye and you look away, well, you could be a terrorist. I'm not playing around. This is exactly what is going on. Oh, by the way, look at this. Here's something that Walmart, you'll see some of these in some of your local friendly Walmart stores. That's a mobile security unit. You can see the Walmart in the background there. They have them down where I'm at. That contraption lifts up. It's like a little mobile police guard tower. And, you know, because they have to watch a Walmart parking lot to make sure there's no terrorists in the parking lot. Right? No. Later on, they're going to be used as staging areas for their mass depopulation that you're getting ready to see. Everything's been set in place, folks. So now you know a little bit about why this is promoted at your friendly Walmart. Be turning over to Revelation 18. Speaking of merchants, the merchants of the earth. Let's talk about them for just a moment. I have to be done at a certain time. I'm watching that clock. Not out of fear, out of great joy, actually. But, oh, I can't forget this. I better leave it here where I can see it in the monitor. I cannot forget this. If I forget it, please say something. If you see something, say something. Okay? Revelation 18, let's look at verse 21. And a mighty Moloch took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the... Didn't I bring my glasses up here? Cast it into the sea, saying, in this way, with violence, will that great city Babylon be thrown down and will be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers. Oh, by the way, did you hear that beautiful music playing this morning? And I thought it was my neighbor's radio. Well, you know, Yahweh uses music. The king of Babylon does too. He said, when you hear the music, fall down and worship me. Yahweh said, when you hear the music, worship him. Remember, Satan always tries to counterfeit everything that Yahweh does, you know? Copycat. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters will be heard no more at all in you, and no craftsman of any craft will be found any more, and the sound of a millstone will be heard no more at all in you, and the light of a lamp will shine no more at all in you, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard no more at all in you, for your merchants were the great men. Remember that word, that term, great men of the earth. That word great, I looked it up, and I already knew what it meant before I looked. See that word right there circled? Lords. Also from word 3173, the megas, you know, the mega. See that? Or you can also call them this. Remember what L means. More will be brought on this. That pastor's actually been bringing it to you now for quite some time. These lords, these gods. Remember, there's many gods and many lords in the heaven and the earth. Some of them are called Lord Baltimore and Lord this and Lord that. They have a house of lords in Britain, don't they? Hello? These Knights of Malta and these Jesuits have set up a very clever and crafty scheme. And remember, they could be your next door neighbor. And some of them don't even know the insidious plans that these Nazis, I get them too confused. No, maybe I don't. Because the Nazis were Catholic. And they got this system down to a T. They know how to set up FEMA camps, and they know how to set up prisons along railroad tracks all over the United States, and they know how to cleverly plant people wherever they need them in the military. Pastor's been telling us about this. People are being replaced, and people are being set up. Folks, this is not a test. This is not a drill. This is serious business in the house of Yahweh. Satan's plan, remember, didn't Pastor say something the other day about Satan is as close to the Pope right now as Yahweh is to him? Do we take these things lightly in the house of Yahweh? Do we think that everything that we've been seeing all over the place is just by coincidence? We are living, we are seeing the end result of what their teachings are bringing. Remember, Satan was a murderer from the beginning and a liar. Hey, how many of y'all got to see the lies that were broadcast over the news this week on Thursday night here in Abilene? Great. I don't see very many people watched it, huh? Well, you would have wasted your time because it was nothing but filthy lies. Satan is the teacher of all lies. And one of the lies is that you can murder, and the Pope's going to absolve you. He's going to put a little ash on your forehead there, and you're going to just say a few Hail Marys, and you're going to get into the kingdom of God. Remember, George Bush said he saw President Bush said he saw God in the eyes of the Pope. And he said God told him to invade Iraq, where Babylon used to be. Huh. Remember, you're one of those Protestants that the Pope was talking about exterminating. You are in the safest place on the face of the earth, sitting right here at this house, right here, right now. And everybody in the outlying areas, Yahweh's going to protect you too. But we've got to be obedient to the one sent. We've got to listen to the one sent. Oh, by the way, speaking of protection, Judge Hale approached me the other day in the drug court. And he said, you know what? I've been hearing some things around the courthouse. He goes, I heard him before, and I didn't listen to him. And he goes, and I heard him again, and I'm not listening to him. And he goes, but you know what? I'm protecting you. I'm doing everything that I can to set everything up to where you all are protected because he knows what they're up to. And you don't think that I have to deal with Jesuits every day in the most... Do you think everyone at the courthouse smiles at me as I walk by? No. If you do, you haven't been listening to the one cent. The Masons are not glad that I'm in that place. But you know what? I'm not ashamed of the message, and I'm going to keep teaching it. And you should too. I love you all. Yahweh bless your understanding. And if you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohan Sefania Owen Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We've got a lot of video today because of all that's going on in the world, and you can see that the time to believe without seeing is quickly coming to a close. But one of the things, we got the Gaza and all hell's breaking loose there. In fact, I think they call it the gates of hell. They've opened the gates of hell. And then Israel calls their operation Pillars of Cloud. And there's a lot of assassinations going on, and they're building up ground troops, up to 75,000 ground troops on the borders of Israel. Israel is. And there's a mega strike in Europe. They're trying to overthrow the King of Lebanon. And then at the end, we have Obama's press conference, which Pastor's going to get into some of the details, I think, on that. But one of the interesting comments that was made by the newscaster in one of these stories is about the mega strike. They call it a mega strike in Europe. And there's people from many languages striking this austerity program. And they say in there that there's many languages with one common enemy. And then they say the enemy is austerity. But we know the enemy is iniquity. But austerity is one of the main curses of iniquity. It's one of the main economic curses that you see. But this is around a half an hour long. But pay attention to all the details because there's a tremendous amount of information in this 28 minutes or so. Okay, let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins! Praise Yahweh! Shalom, everyone! Okay, come on. Praise Yahweh! You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You had to hear those words. Oh, that was beautiful, wasn't it? That Barack Obama is one smart man. The rejoicing, it must go on. I know there's a lot of hatred out in the world, but we've got to rejoice before Yahweh and keep in mind that he's the one, this is his plan. He's letting man go his way and bring the earth down. And very soon, you're going to see the quartet repent and come to the house of Yahweh. Now that's the last part of the show. We had the great elder Benjamin Krause this morning speaking, rejoicing with us. You probably didn't know that he came all the way from Alaska because he heard this gumbo was cooking. That's a long ways to come to get a dish. He went to school with the great Paley, I believe was her name, in Alaska. She was a governor of Alaska. Did you bring her with you? No? Okay. Governor Paley. He's famous. He's going to be famous. He's going to be famous than she is, more famous than she is one of these days. There's somebody trying to explain to me this morning what gumbo was, and I pretended I didn't know, and they
went to extremes trying to tell me what gumbo was. And I didn't tell them, but I used to sing about gumbo. You want me to sing it for you? Me old boy, chicken pie, filet gumbo. Cause tonight I'm gonna sit. No, I gotta change that. Cause today we're going to show Yahweh's way to go. Rejoice with Yahweh. If you'd have got here early this morning, now probably our great doctors of music is going to have some that made into a song, probably. And praise to Yahweh, probably by sundown, and then next Sabbath you'll be hearing it. When I made the suggestion that we get this music to going early on Sabbath morning, before that we had men out there singing, there's harmonizing, and I said, man, this is beautiful, and I could hear the school over there. I saw it rocking back and forth, you know, and so I knew something was going on over there. I said, we need to get some music going with this. And so next Sabbath, if you get here early enough, you might could hear it. It's going to play from 6:45 to 7:15, 30 minutes. That'll wake everyone up. The things that we're seeing in the world, they say, I don't know if you saw that, we didn't have that earthquake in Japan, but the studies that's been done on that, maybe we can get some for next week. The experts are saying the reactors have not been repaired at all, but they're saying too that with one more quake, Japan will cease to exist. And now, that's not the end of it. They're saying resulting destruction will take half of the planet along with it. Now, these are the ones that are studying the damage and what is going to take place. Now, this wouldn't interest me if it wasn't for the prophecy concerning the quartet and their actions and what we're seeing from their actions today, under the leadership of the Pope, of course. But there's a great earthquake going to take place at the end of this whole thing, and at the same time the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light. Pope Benedict not just proposing it. You're hearing about it more now, but it actually started, and I told you this back in 2008, that he wants to resurrect the Roman Empire. And resurrected is what he is doing. If you remember the history that we've studied here about the Roman Empire and how it started in Israel, this was so neat what Satan did in trying to wipe out the message from the prophets and then, of course, the apostles. In 75 BCE, you might want to write that down. 75 BCE, the Latin language started. Now, this Latin language was used to extremes. First off, they had a plan to get rid of the holy writings of the apostles and prophets. The prophets at that time, and then the apostles' writings went with it later. Now, that was 95 years. They started the Latin language 95 years before they destroyed the temple and moved to Rome. And what language do they use there, and did they use? Well, it was the Latin language. And for years and years, the only Bible that could be purchased would be from a priest of the Catholic Church, Universal Church. That's what Catholic means, is universal. And after I brought that secret out, I noticed they've started using it in their literature now. Universal Church of Rome. And after they destroyed the temple and moved to Rome, then they started their work of getting rid of all the writings and all the people who worshiped Yahweh. Now, in doing so, now listen, you need to compare this with what's going on today. The little things you're seeing today is going to build up to big things, and it could build up to big things quickly. But what you're seeing today is a push. As Malachi Martin said, Mary is going to make war against all these nations that will not worship her. Now, worship means to serve. She wants them serving her, which means she wants their tithe brought to the Catholic Church. And what you're seeing today is the Roman Empire in action. If you just remember how they worked, they started in Israel, of course. These were the 12 tribes that built this out of four kingdoms. They came up with one they said this one is the one that's going to work. The fourth kingdom that they created, mainly because they created a huge army, and they would send those armies out. They were rovers, roving armies, or roaming armies, or Roman armies. That's where the name came from. They would send them out to the different villages where people would go to another country from Israel. The Israelites, a group of them, would say, listen, this land is not taken over here in this country, across the mountains or wherever. Let's go there and build a village. So they all agreed and they went there. And they had peace until they were discovered by the Roman army. And of course, the Roman army then would come in, talk to them about tribute because they wanted their money. They wanted their tribute, and we'll protect you with our army. Well, if they wouldn't submit to it, then the next army that would come would make war, and they'd kill off the parents, take the children to Babylon or Rome, mostly Babylon at that time, and that's where they'd train them in the literature. Israel, the prophet Daniel, the great prophet Daniel, he was one of those. And when he was taken captive and taken to Babylon, then they tried to teach him the literature there because the king asked, well, bring me all the smart young men because I want them in my army. Armies were made up of converts to the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. The Apostle Shaul was one of those converts. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. Well, what did Gamaliel teach the Apostle? He taught him to make war against those who brought anything except the tradition handed down by the elders. Now, the Apostle was great at this. And he was responsible for the deaths of a lot of people. As the book of Acts tells you, if you just put it together, you'll see what is taking place now. In Egypt, they sent a group of this Roman army into Egypt. We're just now getting news on this, that these were not citizens of Egypt. They're not citizens. Now you're getting it. These are not citizens of Syria that are causing the trouble here. These people come from another nation. They're armed soldiers. They are trained in what they're doing. The Apostle Shaul was one of those trained in what he was doing. And what he was doing was forcefully bringing in converts to the Catholic Church. It wasn't named Catholic Church at that time. They were called Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. They're the ones also that after the conversion of the apostle Shaul, they killed him. They put him to death because he started preaching the name Yahweh. He started teaching the laws of the prophets, written by the prophets. This was what they were trying to wipe out. Anyone can look up the history of the Bible. It's the easiest thing to find. You can even find it on a computer, believe it or not. I find it the hard way. I go through the books and get it. But you can find it easily, and you can read the history of the scriptures. The Catholic Church tried to wipe it out totally. They passed laws that if anyone was caught with any part of it that wasn't registered, and if you go to register it, of course, they confiscated it. But if it wasn't registered, they would arrest you, take you to the priest, the Pharisees, Sadducees, or Essenes. The Pharisees passed the final judgment, but the others judged you too. They made an inquisition or an inquiry as to what you had been doing in your life, who you were worshiping, why aren't you worshiping the gods that Constantine set up. Of course, that was much later, but they were calling them lords, gods, and rabbis still at that time. Even back in the days of Jeremiah the prophet. But they were planning this trip to Rome, as you can see in the history, because the Latin language that they used in Rome, if you just think about it, that Latin language then they used to rewrite the scriptures. And you couldn't print a Bible without it being printed in Latin. And of course, only the priest spoke Latin. It was never a popular language. So now, what is taking place along with this push in Syria and what has taken place in Egypt, and of course, now that Egypt has been taken over, they still haven't got peace there by any means, but the Pope is going to bring peace. He's already got plans to organize Egypt and bring it into subjection with, of course, the rest of the nations. All of this is already planned. It was planned years and years ago. Before the move to Rome ever took place, the Latin language was invented, and of course, they already started their writings that they were going to teach there, and they were teaching them, and of course, they tried to teach this to Daniel, but Daniel was a convert of Yahweh, and nothing could change his mind, nothing could turn his head. That's what I want from everyone here, you know, from young and old, and you can do it. Be very careful with your language. Some sermons are going to be brought on this, but when they said, you know, watch your step when you go into the house of Yahweh, he wasn't talking about tripping or anything like that or brush your feet off. He was talking about when you're called, then start watching your language. Yeshua added to that, of course, and said, by your language, by your words, you're going to be judged by your words. Well, what if you're saying a bunch of goofy sexual stuff like comes from Hollywood or, you know, it's all jokes. But what it does is put certain things in your mind. I was told this week that I guess we're going to have some documentaries on it next week, maybe. I think it's too long for that, right? It's too long, so we'll probably play it for you some night here and where you can watch the whole thing. But you can see the subliminal messages in the commercials, in all the commercials, and what they're showing you. When you pop off a stupid joke, you know, You may think it's funny and people will laugh at you when you do it. And of course, that thrills you, doesn't it? When somebody laughs with you with a stupid joke. But what you have done is place a subliminal message in that person's mind to where that child or the grown-up starts thinking in that direction. And of course, the Pope has plenty of these out there on the market. And, you know, everyone has fallen for it. It's a moneymaker. But it gets the person's mind away from Yahweh. And that you don't want to take place. You want to be like Daniel? Yes. Or like I've said with Samuel, if you study Samuel and try to be like him, he had kings turn against him, threatened to kill him, tried to kill him, but he would not change. That man stood firm until he died. Praise Yahweh. And that's what you need to do. You need to, I don't want you to die. I want you to be alive and help me resurrect all the dead. That's what I want. But you won't receive that power unless you do what I'm telling you. Keep your mind on the straight and narrow path. Yes, watch your step. Watch your stupid words. Don't let them come to your mind. Don't let them come out your mouth. Well, right now the Pope has asked for, it was the will of the Eternal Father that one universal language be used along with, in comparison with, together with the language of the land. This universal language, Latin, benefit and was chosen by the Eternal Father as a universal language for the universal church, the Roman Catholic Church. Pope Benedict the 16th on Saturday issued a motto, Purio Latino Linga, which establishes the new Pontifical Academy for Latin. Now, what they're going to try to do is make Latin a universal language where it'll be taught in every school in the world because they plan on taking over the world. Resurrection of the Roman Empire, it's already at work. It's working. Same way that it did in Israel when they first started the Roman Empire. They had their roaming soldiers go out and take city by city and bring them into the Catholic Church. Those who would not submit, of course, Circe got them, their dead bodies, fed them to the pigs. It's strange. I just read an article the other day where the man got eaten by his own pigs because he had some kind of stroke or something in the hog pen, and his pigs ate him. And, of course, I'm sure that Circe went right ahead and put him on the market, you know, to be fed back to the people. That's where you get the word church today. It comes from the word Circe, who took the dead bodies of the gladiators who were killed, throwed in lion's dens. What the lion didn't eat, the pigs did. And then she fed her enemies. The history says, they say mythology. Most of this was history. It wasn't a myth what she was doing. And, of course, all of her church members, the Circe members, who followed the priest and ate swine's flesh, they were most eager to get in on this profit. Free feed. Just come get the dead bodies and feed them to your pigs. And you got a high-paying market out here. It'll make your hams more tastier, whatever. You know, this was an advertisement, like they're advertising the Christmas ham today. They already got it advertised for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Well, the Circeites, or whatever you call them, Circeites, they got pork in every store from the orders of the priest. The priest that brought this about was the Catholic Church. Before they were called that, they were called Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. The priest who ate pork, who ate swine's flesh, Isaiah 65. And Isaiah 66 said they will be consumed in the soon coming judgment of fire. That's in Revelations 20 and 21. The sickness and disease it causes, they're running out of antibiotics, by the way, for it. They can't find antibiotics strong enough. You really need to watch yourself. We just had a young person die, a very young person, and I don't know if they don't want to tell what the woman died of, but they first said they thought it was some kind of strange pneumonia, and then they said, well, maybe it was a flu, swine flu or whatever, a strange virus of the swine flu, the pig flu. Ah, boy. A new resistant map from the Center of Disease Dynamics, Economics, and Policy shows major disparities in antibiotics prescription rates and growing resistance to one treatable disease like an infection. And they're running out of antibiotics to treat them. So the diseases that are growing, I wouldn't even bother with it if it wasn't prophesied to be in this time period, these great disease epidemics, and the prophet saying there's no cure for them. Now, isn't that something? We're down to a stage where we got scientists with increased knowledge. Oh, that's a laugh, isn't it? Have you seen anything to help the common cold? Well, this person died, and they said it was some kind of strange flu infection that killed her. At 9:44 today, I got a report that besides all this that's going on, that Egypt started firing rockets into Israel. This was 11/17/2012 at 9:44 a.m. was when the report came this morning. So you can see it is building. The experts say this could get out of hand really easy now. Somebody could push the wrong button and it could turn from conventional warfare to nuclear warfare. But Pope Benedict has called for a new crusade. Now, remember all the history that I've brought to you and put it together with what you see taking place right now. You see the nations being taken over one by one as they were taken over by the original Roman Empire. And in 2008, he said, we've got to resurrect the Roman Empire. Well, it was already being resurrected at that time, and plans were being made to take over the nation. Malachi Martin put this in his book, The Keys of This Blood, saying that the Catholic Church dates back to the Aaronic priesthood. They are the priest of Aaron. They weren't the priests that followed the prophets like Moshe, but they were the priests that rebelled against Moshe and then made their final stand against Samuel in 1 Samuel 8 and 9, 7, 8, and 9. The customs they were following are shown in chapter 8, Christmas, Halloween, and Easter, following the Easter goddess. Now, these are the same things that they were following as they come on down to Yukiska. And Yukiska, at that time, they were baking cakes, hot cross buns, to the Queen of Heaven, proving they're the same religion who sits on the seven hills of Rome, whose memorials to the dead have now come to the top of their worship. Yes, Halloween is the top on their list of worshiping the lords, the gods, as the great Benjamin Krauss-Hawkins just brought out. Pope Benedict has called for a new crusade of Roman Catholicism to sweep Europe and return it to its holy Roman roots. That cry has grown more intense and more insistent. Benedict knows this is but a theological language or a revival of Roman power, yes, Roman power, to move entire nations. He says mountains. The real implication is that this Pope is clearly calling for a powerful crusade to be led by the princes of the church for a revival of Rome's power to reshape global order. It couldn't be clearer what their plans are to do. Now, if you go over to, well, first, let's look back to Mark and see how different this is from what Yeshua said you're going to be. This is the Roman order was, we order you to do this. If you don't do it, you're going to be put in prison or we're going to kill you. Now, you make your choice. The first thing they tried to get their prisoners to do, this would have set them free. Eat pork. If you will eat pork, we will set you free. Well, they didn't want Circe. They didn't want church. They didn't want pork in their body to lose their mind, to confuse their minds. And thousands, some historians say trillions, that this had to be in the trillions. And they started naming the ones who were killed, like Hitler killing 6 million. That was a small number compared to what he really did get rid of, who would not turn from following what they thought was the way to Yahweh. They hung on to the Sabbath, or they hung on to some kind of celebration that they were doing, and they wouldn't give it up, so they died. This was, of course, Jews killing Jews, if you want to call them that. It was Hebrew people of the 12 tribes whose main Roman army was Germany. And I've got to bring more on that because Germany is really the leader now, again, for the Catholic Church and pushing this big time. But here in Mark now, if you look, remember what the Catholic Church, you know, we give you an order, and the order is death. We're going to kill you if you don't do what we tell you to do. And they make no qualms about it. You're going to die, or you're going to worship Mother Mary, Circe. She represents the queen who eats pork, who kills the bodies and feeds it back to the people through the pork. Following the priest who eats swine's flesh. Yes, the Catholic Church eats swine's flesh. All Christianity does, except some of them who read their Bibles and they say, you know, I don't think we should eat this stuff. And there's a lot of them that's doing that now. They're worshiping Yahweh secretly. They're serving Him secretly. Praise Yahweh. They haven't got brave enough yet to stand out in the open and do it, but they will one day. Yahweh shows that He is going to bring 2 billion people here. Praise Yahweh. Well, Yahweh says of Yeshua in Mark 10, verse 42, Yeshua says of these people, of these Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, you hypocrites, you Pharisees, you sons of Satan, He's called them. You whose teacher is Satan the devil. You liars. You tell nothing but lies. You don't have any truth, Yeshua said. All these things He said against these people right here who want to rule the world by force. You got all that?
They want to rule the world by force. He's talking to them here before they ever move to Rome. They established their Latin language in Israel. Yes, they established that in Israel. But when they moved 95 years later, they destroyed the temple, moved to Rome, and they set up this universal language along with their universal church, and nobody knows where they came from. Well, of course, they came from two wolves. Two she-wolves or something raised them. Romulus and Romulus, whatever their names were, these gods that they worship. But Yeshua called his disciples and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the heathen or unbelievers exercise rulership over them, and those who are greater still exercise authority over those rulers that are ruling them. But this must not be so among you, for whoever will be greater among you will be your minister, your servant, one who serves." There's not going to be any rulers in Yahweh's kingdom. They're going to be examples in Yahweh's kingdom, teachers of righteousness. They're going to get everyone to wanting to be a servant instead of being served. And when Yeshua, he says, when I come out to greet you, I'm still going to be the same. I'll put my tallit on and my apron on, and I'll come out and I will serve you. And Yahweh says, you must choose this way, or you won't be part of my kingdom. You must choose it. If you don't now, there's a hell fire where you'll be cast to get rid of you. You won't be bringing what the Pope is bringing to this world today. If you look at the crying and the misery that is going on in these countries that he is taking over right now, he's already sent his Roman army in there to stir up the trouble. He knows what will solve the problem. This is what Malachi Martin told on the man. He said, if you know what the problem is, if you create the problem, then you know what it is and you know how to solve it. Well, that's exactly what's taking place today. And that's what took place in the first Roman army. This stuff that was going on then is going on right now, right in front of your eyes. The Crusades are going on, and they're taking one nation after another. And soon the Pope will solve all their problems. Just worship Mary, and I'll solve all your problems for you. It's not that bold. They don't give the answer that boldly. But if you'll watch closely, that's exactly what they're going to try to do. It won't work. It won't work. Scripture tells them, no, it's not going to work. But if you think about the Roman Empire, was the cause. It never did bring peace. The Roman Empire, the only thing they ever brought was war and fighting. This went on for thousands of years, and it fell. It failed. And it's going to fail again now before it ever gets off of the ground. And Yeshua said to you, whosoever of you will be the first, let him be a slave to all. And even the Son of Man, that word even there, and for the Son of the Man, not came to be served, but to serve. The Son of Man, it's not even the Son of Man, but the Son of Man, his purpose was to come and serve, not be served. And to give his life even for the house of Yahweh that was coming later. You know, the house of Yahweh, let's be turning over to Luke 22. The house of Yahweh was actually advertised prophesied or advertised in Genesis 49. But it doesn't actually come into full effect, the work that is to do, until Revelations 19, where you see that the quartet, what's left of the quartet of 2 billion people, is going to throw down their arms and come to the house and bow down to you. Why? Because you're part of my seed. That's what Yahweh promises you. Praise Yahweh. You are my children, and my children will receive blessings the same as I. That's what Yahshua tells you. And he who accepts a prophet, because he is a prophet, gets the prophet's reward. Remember all those scriptures that go with this. Well, in Luke now, 22, and notice verse 25, he says, "So he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise rulership over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors.'" Well, this is the same setup that you see today. You see people as, this is, Luke 22, verse 25. You see the kings, and you see the ones who actually control the kings. Malachi Martin says, speaking of the Rothschilds, that was one group, but these are people with money. They control the banks of the world. I think we got something on that we want to bring too. They control the banks. They control the money. Malachi Martin said they can throw billions of dollars to have a nation fall or a nation stand. They're the ones that govern who stands and who falls. They're the ones that tell the kings what to do. They give the orders. One of the Russian leaders said it wouldn't make any difference who was chosen president. It doesn't make any difference if Bush wins it or whoever wins it, he said. The plans are already laid out, and they're just going to fall in and do what they're told to do. Well, other people know this besides Malachi Martin, but it's in the book, The Keys of This Blood. They say they have rights to do this. It's the keys of their blood, and they have rights to open these doors or close these doors. Well, verse 26, "But this must not be so among you." That's not who Yahweh is going to give the kingdom to, his saints. And these are the saints that Yahshua is speaking of right here. And he says, he who is first, like the one who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? But I am one who serves. This is Yahshua, your example to follow. Now, you are those who have stood by me in my trials. So I appoint you. I appoint you. You stood by me. I appoint you a kingdom. Praise Yahweh. Just as my Father appointed to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. In my kingdom. Did you get that? You may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. These are, of course, on the days of appointments, the Sabbath day, the days of appointments with Yahweh. Read reference. I think I read that. Let's go to, with that in mind, and what I just, and everything that you saw on the film today, let's go over to Revelation 6 here now. Revelation 6, and remember what Yahshua expects of you, and what the kingdoms are trying to do. They don't care who they kill. They send bombs. They don't care who it kills. They just send bombs to kill. And they got much bigger bombs than that they're going to send. Well, here now in Revelation 6, And he verse 1, here's our lamb that said you must be one who serves. You've got to love. You've got to love one another and don't do anything to someone else that you wouldn't want that person to do to you. Like the young priest brought out this morning. Treat others like you want to be treated. Serve others like you want to be served. And I looked and behold, verse 2, and here was this white horse, and he who sat upon it had war in his hand. That word bow, it stands for the same thing that Yahweh told Samuel. This king, you choosing a king, here's what's going to take place. They're going to choose your young men, and they're going to train them to make weapons for you. Instruments of war. That's what they're going to train them for. That's what they're trained for now. And they pay them big money to work in their offices, work in their laboratories to produce what it takes to kill what they call the enemy, to rule over those. And that's what the Pope is crusading for today. Yes, and they're going to use it. And they're going to depopulate the earth like they did in Hitler's day, only more so because they want to depopulate the earth down to 2 billion people. And Yahweh's going to allow it to take place. And this has been voiced by them over and over. Well, here's the one that's doing it. And a crown was given to him, that is authority, was given to the Pope to do this. And he went out conquering. This is not Yahshua. You see that? This is not Yahshua. This is a false prophet that is now running another crusade, resurrecting the Roman Empire that caused so much trouble to begin with. In Israel and throughout the whole world, murdering, murdering, murdering. Crusade after crusade. If all the people on earth were Catholic, they still would not have peace. They would be just like Cain. That's what they are. They're gone the way of Cain. And they would continue to kill and lust after what their brother had instead of wanting to serve their brother like Yahshua said. You see the difference in the two? Conquering and to conquer. Well, that's exactly what he's doing right there. Conquering and to conquer with war. Look back to Kepha. This is 2 Kepha. Chapter 3. 2 Kepha, chapter 3. Because the scripture, if you think about the prophecies fulfilled, you think about prophesying that a certain thing would take place tomorrow. You know how many plans you've had that didn't take place? You're just wanting to go learn how to swim, and all of a sudden it's canceled. Well, that shows what kind of prophet you are. Now, what if you're looking down 1,000 years or 2,000 years in advance, and you prophesy that a place was going to be established called the House of Yahweh? 2,000 years, 4,000 years. You see that? Are you with me? Now, here you are, a prophet back 2,000, 4,000, 6,000 years ago. And you're saying in the last days, there will be a man called the branch that will branch out and build the house of Yahweh. You see what a miracle this is? But there's people yet today that don't believe these scriptures. They don't believe nuclear war is going to come. They think all of this will just go away here pretty soon, and the Catholic Church will bring them peace, and they'll live in peace till they die. They don't have any peace today. When they talk, they're gritting their teeth, they're mad, they're angry, they're hateful, their faces are full of hate, their stomachs are eat up with hatred. They're dying. They're killing themselves with their own hatred. And they're saying,
You know how many years I've heard you teaching this? I said, do you know how many years the prophet Jonah taught before it actually occurred? Isaiah is the one that prophesied that I would be here teaching you today. But let me give you... Now, I'm teaching you peace. That's what I've always taught, was peace. And yet here's a prophet, both Jeremiah and Isaiah, saying, this one called the branch that's going to establish the house of Yahweh is going to be despised by everyone. He's going to be hated by all the world. And lo and behold, I'm hated. And I laugh and rejoice about it. One of the things that they teach you in worldly colleges is conform. Get in line with the Pope. Go work for these people who build bombs. Well, I never did want to conform. The only thing I ever wanted to do, truly, I tell you this, from as young as I can remember, I would never read funny books because I thought it was a waste of time. I never read anything that, and that's the reason I had a hard time in some of the school lessons, because I said, I see no reason for this. What I wanted was something that would help me understand Scripture. I love reading the Bible, and I wanted to understand it fully. So I governed my life to just search Scriptures, and I'd buy books on top of books that would help me to understand the Scriptures. But I would never buy a funny book. That, to me, was stupid, and all the stuff that goes with it is just stupidity. Well, here in Kepha now, you see some unbelievers prophesied. How would he know this? How would Kepha know? The Apostle Kepha, this is chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 2. But how would he know that in the last days, which the last days is the time when they have nuclear bombs? There is no other last days. They didn't have nuclear bombs until knowledge was increased, as our deacon has been bringing out so many times, that knowledge was increased at a certain time that it was prophesied to be increased, at a time that a man would be hated for bringing the way to peace to a world that don't want peace. And here the Apostle Kepha is saying in this same time period, you're going to have scoffers. Scoffers. Yes, you're going to have them tell you, well, I've listened to you preach that for years and it still hasn't come. No, but it will, and I'm going to preach it right up till the day it does. To remember now, this is 2 Kepha, chapter 3, verse 2, to remember the words which were spoken were previously spoken by the holy prophets. Yeshua says, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 3, first, you must understand this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to what? Their own righteousness? You see that? Walking according to what? Their own lust. They're walking according to their own lust. Do they want to serve? No. If they did, they'd be here with you serving. They didn't want to serve. They don't want anything to do with this right now. They will later, but they don't now. They don't see any need for it. But notice they're walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, think how stupid that is. Verse 5, and they deliberately forget now, they deliberately forget the prophecies. That's what he's showing you here. They deliberately forget the prophecies and the history that has gone before the writing of this words of Yahweh, the book of Yahweh. Verse 6, that Yahweh's plan, that he's the one that governs this and tells you in advance what's going to take place. No one can do that. You can't do it. No one on the face of the earth can do it. Satan herself cannot foretell prophecy. The only one that can foretell the future is Yahweh. And Yahshua himself said that. Not even the Malachim in heaven can do this. By the same plan, the heavens and the earth existed, are reserved for fire. Fire? Fire. Yes, reserved for fire. This is the great burning that's going to take place, being kept in store until the day of judgment. What judgment? What's he talking about here? Judgment. A fiery judgment, as Hebrews 10:26 said. Those who sin willfully after the knowledge of the truth is come. I'm prophesied to bring you the truth. After the knowledge of the truth is come, you want to go ahead and turn back to sin? There is no sacrifice for you after that. But a certain fearful-looking, fiery indignation that will devour the adversary. For destruction of unrighteous men. For the destruction of the unrighteous. If you look over to Revelations 20, and remember the false prophet in Revelation 6, because he's the first one that's named here. Yes, they had their opportunity to serve Yahweh. And they still have it today, but they won't repent. Yahweh shows they won't repent. They love this. They love what Satan promised to Yahshua, and Yahshua turned it down. Revelation 20, the very first one, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets were cast also. In verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before Yahweh, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now this is for the unbelievers that I just told you, the scoffers. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, according to their words. Yeshua said, you're judged by your words, and by your words you'll also be condemned. And the sea gave up the dead which are in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Death and Sheol gave up those who were buried, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life. And look at Revelations 21, and notice verse 8. Revelations 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, those who eat pork, those who eat pork, Isaiah 65, you're an abomination. You become an abomination to yourself, and you become abominable to those who are around you, passing off diseases to them. Yes. The fearful and unbelieving and abominable. You'll find the same thing spoken of in Revelation 17, where it's talking about the Roman Catholic Church, which sits on seven hills. Seven hills, a great city, from which she is now crusading again to take over the world, to resurrect the Roman Empire, to do what she did before, kill, murder, slay with the sword, with her bow, this great bow and authority that Satan gives her. Yes, Satan is the one that gives her that authority, as Revelations 12 shows. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!